morning, everyone.
Krishna, Krishna. Are you still alive? Yes, thank you. So, the day has come.
You are the
Thank you. Oh, Yeah, I'm sorry. Conditions of material life and freely award or give the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of all holy places and of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service, and they are honored by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, and therefore even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. So you might ask, well, how does this refer to Lord Chaitanya? This is a general verse describing the Lord in a general way. I think because we are tired, the text just run by us. What was it? Something good, I think. I don't know, but let me summarize again the text for you. It says, your lotus feet are the most suitable boat by which one can cross the ocean of material existence and attain love of God. You know the material world is often compared in our scriptures with an ocean. which is powerful waves and sharks entered. This comparison is given to bring to us, to our attention, that it's very difficult once you're in the midst of an ocean to free yourself on your own by swimming. The ocean is vast and unlimited. So you need a boat to cross the ocean. I remember Bhakti Charu Maharaj had once invited many of us on a cruise. We started from the same pier, Southampton, when the Titanic started. I did escape some of the devotees' attention that bus cruise might be dangerous. And in fact, it became kawaii, the base became so choppy that some of the devotees contracted heavy forms of seasickness. They had green colors, violet colors, all kinds of colors on their noses, like holy. So, but still, we were happy we were in a boat and not out in the ocean, because in the ocean you drown, in the boat you cross. So, when you're in the material world, oops, you will be affected negatively, but if you are safely found shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, you have a chance. Then the verse says, holy places and saintly devotees and also powerful devatas, I wanted to say, find shelter and honor your lotus feet. And finally, it says, my Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those... Oh my God! Once again. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distress of your servants. When you have the distressing condition of material existence, it's very, very important to say stop in your life. Put it on hold. Press the pause button and understand you are experiencing the miseries of Kali Yuga. So at that time, you should when your life is on pause, you should stop everything, run to the next deities, or you can also pay your obeisances to Krishna as image in the mind, or you can also, if there are pictures or there are prayers to Krishna, put your life on hold, be intelligent, stop, pause, halt. Bus and take shelter at the lotus feet, and you will see how the Lord mercifully clears the distress, whatever it is that is breaking you. Many devotees don't do this. When the distress comes, they try to find relief in other measures, in other ways. But those devotees who really throw their hands in the air like Draupadi did in olden times and just bow down. The Lord cannot remain impartial and neutral. He immediately rushes to the aid. There's a prayer like this. It says, a devotee is in distress. He said, my dear Lord, when Draupadi was in distress, you rushed to her help. Where's your hurry now? You should hurry also. I'm in distress. Yes. The devotee addresses the Lord like this because he knows. And there's another verse that says like this. Why is the Lord running? Why is the Lord not even taking time to put on his shoes? Why is he ignoring Garuda, who stands with folded hands before his door, says, I take you everywhere you want to go, just come on my back. Why is the Lord in such a hurry? And the answer is, his devotees in distress, and he comes to help the devotee. No time to put on shoes, no time even to take advantage of his celebrated carrier, Garudaji. No, he personally comes and runs. This is the verse. And you might say, I think you're a modern devotee, so you may not know. One thing you have to know, whatever the Vaishnavas hold as sacred and true has to be authenticated or confirmed in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you go to one verse before this verse, that is 11.5.32, you will find a direct hint on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where the Kali Yuga avatar is directly described. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes this verse, which I will share with you in a second, and he says, in Srimad Bhagavatam it is repeatedly and very clearly said that the essence of religion in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Yes, you have understood one very important point. So then he continues, then he brings a verse. He says, in other ages, like the Dwarapa Yuga, the Lord is worshipped. In the Kali Yuga, the people also worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the regulations of the revealed scriptures, they don't speculate, they follow Shastra. Kindly now hear about this from me. And then he quotes this verse. This was a verse from the Bhagavatam, the last one which I quoted, which says that the people in Kali Yuga also worship Krishna according to the regulations of the scriptures. And then kindly hear now this, about this from me. This is also the Bhagavatam. And then this verse comes, which is the prelude, the fundament, the how do you say, the introduction to this prayer which we just chanted. The verse says, those who are Brahmins or who know the scriptures can maybe even remember by heart. Krishna vadam trisha krishnam sango pangasrahashanam yagya sankirtam rajaya yajanti sunirasa. In this age of Kali, this is a Bhagavatam verse, authority, 11.5.32. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons, perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Who do you think is an incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna?
Gauranga.
Gauranga, you know everything. Although his complexion is not blackish, he's Krishna himself. He's accompanied by his associates, by his servants, his weapons, and confidential companions. Wow, it's amazing how much this body produces. It is one of the miracles of this universal creation. To see this Krishna, Krishna. So, my dear devotees, in the age of Kali, an intelligent person will see Where do I find a means to cross this ocean of material existence? And he will see there is an incarnation of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has appeared to safely conduct the conditioned souls from the shores of Kali Yuga across the ocean of misery to the kingdom of God. No? This incarnation has to be revealed in the scripture. What are his special features? Well, one is he constantly sings the holy name. We find this in the accounts of Lord Chaitanya's life, that if people would go into his association, even in the night, they would find Gauranga Mahaprabhu sitting, and there were only two syllables coming from his transcendental lotus mouth. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami describes that in Puri, the Lord had a very small room, the Gambhira. Gambhira means also very deep. Called like this because the Lord in this room had very deep devotional ecstasies. He relished it. In the night he would get up, he would not be able to sleep. He would say, Krishna, Krishna. And sometimes, all of a sudden, he was found before the doors of the Jagannath temple in great ecstasy. His limbs of his body had come into his body, and he looked like a tortoise, round, and the limbs were withdrawn within his body. He looked almost not human, so much was he transformed by his deep, deep emotional ecstasies, his feelings of separation from Krishna. The devotees would wonder, how did he cross through the walls? How did he scale the walls? How did the doors were not open? They had been locked to keep the Lord from harming himself by wandering throughout the night and not aware of his surroundings. Constantly he would chant, and we have learned one song. Then he would go and preach, he would chant, Krishna, 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 this
Krishna, who was conscious to the other Krishna, there's only one Krishna, but I'm just saying like this, not blackish, he had a golden complexion, you know, very golden, like molten gold. When you melt gold, it becomes liquefied, and then has a very, very nice glow, which is tinted a little bit with a reddish tint, like you can see a Golokadam early in the morning brightness. This information is there. He's Krishna inside. Krishna once saw Srimati Radharani, and he saw amazing love in Radharani, and he wanted to taste that love. But he was the object of love. he could not in that way, you know, love himself like a different person. A lover loves a beloved. He was the beloved. So he thought, I must somehow come into the role of the lover of myself. He waited until Radharani's love had reached the zenith. Zenith means the highest possible point of love. When her heart was absolutely melted with love. It was like melted gold. And at that time, Krishna made himself very small. And he went into the heart of Radha and bathed in that golden ocean of her love. Yes. And when you immerse yourself in an ocean, you become covered from toe to top of the head with the water of the ocean. In this way, Krishna became covered from toe to all over with that golden love of Radharani. And then he came out and was
Gauranga.
Yes, you have heard properly. Then he was Gauranga. And he had two missions. He wanted to taste that love. For that he stayed in the Gambhira room, which is very private. All doors locked. 2 square meters by 2 square meters, and experienced the love of Radha, and then he would share this in his kirtan. It's described when Lord Chaitanya chanted. At that time, from his inside, the jewels of love of God, the pearls of love of God, came out from his heart and through his mouth, and they fell into the hearts of those who were in his kirtans. These were the true kirtans. Ooh, these were the real kirtans. Would you all one day to like to be in such a kirtan? You just need to be there, and this pearl of love will fall through your ears. It's a transcendental spiritual pearl. They can do such things, these pearls. They're not such boring pearls, but just one. It falls through your oral channel, it falls in your heart, and yes, then you also, your heart will become free from the inner darkness of Kali Yuga, and will be a place of a light of transcendental love. So this is how he is described in the Bhagavata. Intelligent people worship the Lord who constantly sings the name of Krishna. He's not black, but he's golden complexion. But he's the same Krishna, just on a slightly special mission. He's accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential associates. Prabhupada wrote about this.
he is associated with his plenary expansion. Who's that? Nityananda. Here we have our birthday child. Nityananda. He is associated by personal expansions such as Gadadha. Gadadha is the splendor of his body. That's Gadadha, very esoteric, I know. Devotees, he is accompanied by devotees and associates. Here it is said that intelligent people will worship him, not unintelligent persons. Now, what this means is intelligence is an ability to see the essence of something. There is a story, it is in one of these, it's not really in the scripture, it's in, you know, it's one of the Akbar stories. Akbar had one minister who was extremely intelligent. His name was, you remember? Birbal. Yeah. There are many stories about the two where we see the superior strengths of intelligence even over political power, like, which is a lot of power, you know. So once the workers came to Akbar and complained. They said, we are working from morning till evening and we get a relatively low pay, but here's your lazy minister, Birbal. He sits on the cushions and we don't know what he does on his cushions. And he gets such a high pay. We find this highly unfair. We want to complain. The king should be equal-minded to all his citizens, and we who work so hard get so little pay, and he who's lazy and eats some sandesh and rasagulas, he gets a high pay. We cannot sympathize with this idea. Well, Akbar says, he does something which nobody else comes. He by his intelligence. The worker says that we only see him sitting. And Akbar says, okay, I will show you the quality of Birbal. I have this elephant. It's my greatest elephant, my best elephant in the elephant parts that always wanted to know how heavy is he really, what is his weight. You please take this elephant and weigh him. No. Miracle goes on. Then the workers took the elephant and they came back after many weeks, and they said, we could not find a scale big enough to weigh this elephant. In your whole kingdom, there is no scale. Now you have these scales, a Waage in German, because you have these trucks and the toll of these huge ways. The truck drives on the scale and then it's scaled, and then you know how heavy the whole thing is, and you then can do minus the weight of the truck, and then you know what a load he carries. How heavy is the load? And if it is too heavy for the regulations, then these truck drivers or companies are getting a fine, and the toll earns more money. So this is you have these scales, but in old times there was no scale to build an elephant. Yes, said Abba, thank you very much for your efforts. Now I will call Birbal, and he will tell us very soon what is the weight of the elephant.
Impossible, said the workers. They're so scared. The elephant is too heavy. Birma came back after a few hours and said, Your Majesty, it is so many kgs, or tons. The worker said, Now he has cheated you. It's not possible. I said, Tell the workers how you came to this figure. Birma said, Very simple, my Majesty, Your Majesties. I took a boat, a big boat, put the, I made a line where the boat, where the water was, you know, how high it came on the outside of the boat. And then I brought the elephant inside, and then the boat came more under water, then I made a line there, correct. Then I said, thank you very much, Mr. Elephant. And the elephant was brought out. And then I took 50 kg, sent sacks, and filled as many sand sacks into the boat until the same line was reached, which was there when the elephant was inside. Then I just counted the 50 kg sacks, and now you we have our number, so many tons. Arpa said, so you will work with your muscles, you do, but that is limited. If works with this intelligence, and it is unlimited, possibilities are there. That is only one little example. So one of the possibility of an intelligence is to see how can I solve a difficult task? How can I find a solution to something which is very difficult? A person who finds solutions to difficult circumstances and does not lament like an ordinary person. He is an intelligent person. She is intelligent who can go to the essence of things and bypass all the unnecessary things. So in this age of Kali, there is one task before all of us, my dear devotees, that is how can we overcome our lower self, which is constantly pulling us in the material direction of frustration, of limitation, of unlimited desires. How can we come out of this and come to a state of transcendental happiness, ananda? How can we become anandas and anandinis? This is the question which we have to solve. It's a difficult question in this age of Kali, but it is a question which is very, very important. So, only intelligent people can come to the solution that the Lord has appeared. Krishna has kindly appeared in this age of Kali, and he has come together with Lord Nityananda, Gadadhara. They are introducing a very simple form of self-realization. Singing the holy names of Krishna and dancing. Yes, dancing. I was very happy today when a devotee who had come from far, I said, this is a festival now to immerse yourself, please sing and dance. This is a very unusual advice, you know. Sing and dance, be happy. And today I saw the devotee singing and dancing, jumping and screaming, and I thought, well, that is a happy devotee now. So this is intelligence. To make a solution to the problems of material existence. For this you have to think a little, how will I do this? Therefore the verse says, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. And by this, they enter into a boat which safely brings them over the ocean of material existence. Do you know how I developed my faith in the chanting? I was very much captured by the age of Kali. I had been very impressed by the culture, pop culture or rock and roll culture. And I had grown long hair, much longer than all the Matajis together. I was playing a violin and I was musically enjoying life. Enjoying is not the right word for what I did. I was miserable if I was honest. Trying. I came to the contact with the devotees and they invited me for Harinam Sankirtan. Now, I was very, very afraid to go with the devotees into the town. I had one name I'm shy to say. I'm actually too shy to say it. Some people know me in other words by a name, a modern name, I'm too shy to say, because I know it would be in the internet, you know, and I don't want this. So I was very afraid it would be my friends and the people I saw when I visited musical concerts. Everyone would see me with these funny dressed devotees, you know. I was too self-conscious. I was attracted by what if my friends start talking about me? Like this. But then I thought, be authentic. Let the whole world talk about you. It doesn't matter. You know what is right. You know what you have to do. Follow your heart. Go and sing and dance on the streets of Hamburg. And I still remember, I thought, okay, if I go and dance, I will also dress appropriately in the dhoti. And I was wearing the dhoti because I didn't know. I still remember the dhoti went up to my knees. It looked like I don't know how it looks, you know, when the dhoti goes up to the knees, it looks quite like a Scottish gentleman. Doing that. How do we say pipers? So I was even more self-conscious. Everyone sees my legs. No problem, be authentic. And then I remember the first kid I was singing, and then, oh no, I saw this person and I saw this famous musician who I knew coming my way, and oh, my teacher, my German teacher, I adored because he knew literature very well, and oh no, everyone was coming. They were like this, and you know, I was not even sure if I was in the right movement, you know. the chanting went on. I believe His Holiness Bhakti by Baba Maharaj was playing the Vedanga, not as expert as he plays now. And then all of a sudden, my dear devotees, I felt I was in a boat, safe, and there was like an ocean around me, the ocean of Hamburg, and the people were like fishes swimming and the, no, like not fishes, like people, you know, struggling in that ocean. But I was carelessly and elegantly dancing in the boat, and I was crossing the boat, and I was very joyful. I started to laugh with the heaviness. Orchestra, yes, yes, me. Come join this very orchestra. And some people joined. They came and walked with, because we were so happy. And who doesn't want to associate with happy people? No one wants to avoid depressed people in life. Still remember. This is the boat to cross the ocean of material existence. I've never forgotten this. And when I chant with people, especially in congregational chanting, like yesterday, when we chanted so nicely together, when we sang, I feel really safe. This is a boat which goes safely over the ocean of material existence. This is how intelligent people worship. It's not so complicated to be happy. The most happy person sings and dances. No, it has always been like this. He doesn't think complicated thoughts from morning till evening. He is just happy. And so on. This is the process which this avatar for this age has given for those who are unfortunate. The simple process of singing and dancing and being happy around the holy name. Join the happy people, my dear devotees, by going to the essence of something. And the essence is really Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with Lord Nityananda, and they can be worshipped. Nityananda was highly unorthodox. He dressed in costly and colorful silks, different color, violet, green. He really looked like something. We have always these paintings of Lord Nityananda, but I'm yet to see a real painting of Nityananda. He really looked not just one color, blue and so on. Yes, his preferred color is blue, but he had also violet and yellow and everything. He wore expensive jewelry, which is not typical for someone in the renounced order. And when he danced, listen to this, he had an iron stick, a very heavy iron stick. It was painted red, and he would wheel this rod, heavy rod, around him. This is not what a dancer does, this is what a kshatriya does. It was like a club, but he was very powerful and strongly built. He had no reservations about the rules of society. In other words, he was from a Brahmin family, and he associated with the most low-class people, the intoxicated thieves who were under drugs, you know, who were drugged. No problem for Nityananda. He didn't discriminate between high and low. He would even go to the houses of rulers of that time who were from another religious domination, who were quite intolerant. He would just not see the good and bad. There are descriptions about Lord Nityananda. It says, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, it says, because he's intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. It's a beautiful verse. Please chant with me. Prema Mata Nityananda.
Prema Mata Nityananda.
Prema Avatara.
Prema Avatara.
Uttama Makare Vichara.
Makare Vichara.
Yes. Well, this means because he is Prema Mata. Prema has made him Mata. We have the English word mad. Prabhupada translates it also like this. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love. It is an incarnation of mercy. He does not distinguish between the good and the bad. And therefore, he has even shown me his mercy. Who in the world but Nityananda could show his mercy to such an abominable person as me? This is Adi Lila chapter 5, verse 208. And you will find many verses in this area describing him and his extraordinary appearance. I had told you one of these days that Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram had this favorite drink, the Baruni. It was some type of beverage created from honey. Very, you know, I had once a godbrother who would drink honey and then he would give kirtans and he would dance the highest and scream and the loudest voice. Honey has this effect, you know. And so this was a special honey drink which made him invigorated, let us respectfully say like this. He thought, I want to experience love more intensely than I experience it as Balaram. So let me come when my brother comes as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I will come as his associate, and in this way I will be known as his elder brother. You know? So that's why he is there, intoxicated like Balaram, but with love. That is his speciality. So one point which I think is very important to note here, Nityananda was a tradition breaker. Nityananda was a breaker of social rules. Therefore, his name was Avadhuta. He went really to the essence of all religious observance. The essence of religion must be love. If the religious people are hateful, if religious people are critical, they have missed the essence of their practice. It must be love, forgiving, these kind of qualities which are around love. And for this, to bring this point, Nityananda broke the religious traditions of his times. Brahmins associating with drunkards, not possible. Brahmins dancing on the street so wild that their clothes becomes loose and at times is gone, not possible. He was a breaker of tradition. This brings us to a very thought-provoking thing. There have always been religious cultures, religious traditions. There have always been renewers of tradition to bring the essence out as it is appropriate in that time, in that circumstances. For instance, Srila Prabhupada recognized that in our times, ladies and men are no longer playing the social roles which they played 5,000 years ago. And therefore, as one of his new creations, he gave the Brahminical initiations to ladies also. This was strictly reserved for men only. And in the Gaudiya Math, he had ladies, that is the movement of his own spiritual master, he had ladies were not given the Gayatri Mantra. No, it is a new creation. Sannyasis were not allowed to cross the ocean. Prabhupada crossed the ocean many times. He flew in the air. that is also not in the scriptures. Don't fly in iron birds. He is a renewer of tradition, and he has found but he would always argue it's the essence. He argued in Jagannath Puri with the Pandas, who said, white men cannot enter the temple. He said, these are not white men. Can't you see them in what is their essence? They are devotees of Krishna. Prabhupada was standing up against a whole committee of these Brahmanas. And in this way, no Prabhupada. Oops. No, don't watch me, please. In this way, you will see an important point. The spiritual essence is always hidden in what is around it. Yesterday, I had one inquirer. He said, a very good Brahminical from a himself from a Brahminical family. The ceremony was extraordinary. An ordinary human being was worshipped with an abhishek, foot washing ceremony. I have never seen. And this is very extraordinary. And I said, see, this celebration is not called Sachinandan Puja. It is called Vyasa Puja. You must see the essence of what is going on here. It's not about water and so on. It's worshiping the message of Vyasa Dev. Anyone who is a conductor of that message, through whom this message comes, and he is given the ceremony because of what he gives. I always have said to my disciples, who are also very young in spiritual life, the Guru is more. He's not just a man from Hamburg. There is more inside. There is a message. There is a teaching. There is an example. There is a spiritual understanding coming. No? That's why I said yesterday that from all the roles which the Guru plays, I'm most comfortable with the teacher, because this is how I relate to this role. I'm not a special person. I always say this, that the message is special. It is, it works. It can transform an ordinary man into a happy man or woman. A Krishna conscious person. No. So sometimes we have to also learn in the Hare Krishna movement to go to the essence. What is it all about? And we have to take away the unessential things which are around it, which are cultural things, social issues, etc. We have to go to the spiritual essence. We have to be a little bit like this old man from the village of Bankura. Have I told you about this old man? He was the last very, very gifted. How do we say, what is the word for de 18 makers, please? Can someone help me? Stravatis, yes. He knew the exact proportions. I wanted to have a deity of Sambuja very urgently to worship, where Lord Chaitanya is seen as Krishna, Rama, and Lord Chaitanya, a six-armed form of Lord Chaitanya. It's very difficult to make a six-armed form. And I knew there was only one place for a man on the planet who could do it perfectly according to the scriptures. And I sent devotees with my picture to him because they want to always know for whom am I making this deity. And the answer which came back, the old man said, I'm too old. This is not the form I can do. And my sons can't unfortunately do. Then I said, why is it, if you so desire, please make this your last deity which you do before you stop doing. Why? My letter was translated into Bengali. I said, this is celebrating the Yuga avatar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Krishna and Rama. It's anyone who sees can see, wow, this deity is special, Lord Chaitanya is special. So he had at last agreed, and then after 6 months I sent again the devotees to pick up the deity. And the answer which came back is he had not started the work. I asked the devotees, is he unwilling all of a sudden? And they said, no, he's not unwilling. He says he first has to see the deity in the wood. And this has not yet happened. And he says, you are not praying enough. You means I want the deity, and therefore the deity is not manifesting. He was right. I was busy in preaching, and I just, amongst the millions of things, I just ordered this deity, and I did a little bit, this is now in the heads of the Stavati, let him do, but I do a million of other things. But this is not how God comes to you, no? With millions of other things in your head, you must be a kanta, fixed on one. So I began to pray every day till Sambuja. I had a picture and I chanted my rounds before Sambuja. And then I sent the devotees to see what was going on, and he had started his work. He had seen the deities, and it took some time because he was elderly, but not a little elderly, he was old. His hands are trembling. But it became a beautiful deity. If you want to see this deity, you must make a pilgrimage to the home of Bhagavad-Dhamma. There on the altar, you will find this deity beautifully dressed. His bow has become a little old, we have to replace the bow in due course of time. And very beautiful. Krishna consciousness is like the deity in the wooden block. There's a lot of external things around it. When you go nowadays on social media, you will not hear so much about the. Well, you find everything in the internet, but you want to find a lot of unnecessary things. Criticism, social issues, what do you think about homosexuality, and a whole fighting around various perspectives. It is the role of the ladies. Is that satisfactory solved? And you will find a lot of this and that discussions. You will find a lot of discussions of criticism, of gurus. All of them are criticized by
devotees who are not satisfied in their hearts, and so on. You will find a lot of things which have nothing to do with the essence of developing love of Krishna. This is the need of all of us, to cross the ocean of material existence. The other things are, I think the English word is incidental. What is the word?
Incidental.
What does this mean, incidental? I remember this word.
It's like circumstantial.
Yes. About changing circumstances, yes. I'm not saying that they don't need to be discussed. Yes. Yes, of course. We should do everything responsibly and so on. But I'm saying you need to go to the essence, and that's an intelligent person. And this I see really in the incarnation of Nityananda. He broke the unessential things away, just like our Srila Prabhupada did, to come to the essence, the pure essence. This was just chanting and dancing and being, experiencing love of Godhead and distributing it. He was all about that. You don't find big philosophical discussions. You will find when you met Lord Nityananda, he would embrace you and that would solve everything. I was thinking about this essential thing in terms of a very interesting work of world literature which I discussed with my friend Bhujang, who Jesus comes back after 2,000 years to see what has Christianity done with his message of love. He comes to Sevilla in Spain, where the day before a lot of Christians have been burned by the Inquisitor. The air is still smells like burnt flesh. He goes, he's silent, he just wants to see. And soon, people begin to become attracted to him, like bees to a glass of honey, and follow him as he moves through the streets. And someone is crippled, and he comes close to Jesus and says, "Can you help me?" He just walks, almost his feet are not, almost not touching the ground, and he touches the crippled man, and wow, he's healthy, and walks. And he says, "It's him, the master has come back." The whole town of Sevilla is around him and follows him. Oh, it is at the edge, when they come to the huge marketplace where the church is, at the edge of the marketplace, there's a man with a gray dress, his hair, and he is known as the Great Inquisitor. He gives an order, and all of a sudden, a few soldiers in armor and spears are there. Meanwhile, Jesus has arrived at the steps of the church, a huge dome. He wants to go inside and see this beautiful architecture building. And out of the church comes a woman carrying on her arms a carcass in which a dead child is. She has heard people have informed her, and she comes and cries and bows down to Jesus and says, "Can you please cure my child?" "It is my only child, so young, so sweet." He came for something else. He wanted to inspect what has come out of Christianity. But he cannot keep his compassion, and he
touches the child. The child gets up and everyone shouts, "The Master has come back! Jesus is walking amongst us!" And all of a sudden they hear loud orders, "Enough! Enough!" And the soldiers come through the crowd. They cruelly push people away with their lances. They go to Jesus and they say, "You are imprisoned." And they have the spears. The people are totally bewildered. But they don't dare to get opposed because they don't want to burn like the day before. Their relatives and others, there are 120 people that burned on that day. Jesus is imprisoned and he is put into the prison and he wants to inspect everything. It's midnight, 12 o'clock. The doors are opening. The old man dressed in gray with the eyes, which are like eyes, comes into the prison and the door closes. The old man sits before Jesus and for 10 minutes he looks at him. And then he says in a very rough voice, "Why have you come to disturb us?" Jesus is silent. "We have worked so hard to make your teaching practical. You have said, see the birds in the sky, they don't sow, nor do they harvest. This is not how you get bread. We have given people seeds, we have given them fields and said, this is your field, that is your field, that is your field. We have given them something to eat. You have said, love your neighbor like yourself. This is impractical. People are not loving. They need to be disciplined. They need to, otherwise they eat themselves. We have made sense out of your impractical teachings. Why have you come?" And it goes like, it's brilliant. It goes for a few hours. And Jesus just looks. He just wants to understand. At the end, the old man says, "And why don't you speak to me? You don't, you find, I think you don't find what we did of any value. Tomorrow we will burn. You will feel the power of the church. Speak to me. Speak to me." Jesus gets up. He goes to the old man. He gives him a kiss on his very thin lips. Symbolizing, "I came to give love." The old man is totally bewildered. Something in his ice-cold heart is stirring. Vatican, and he has studied that everything is full of so this, the bishops are rich, the poor are poorer, and he saw this and then he wrote this. This is of course a very direct and confrontational message. I don't think religious traditions are always bad. I don't think at all institutions are bad. They are necessary in order to set up a system by which we can do things. We would not have met today without the existence of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Let us be grateful for those who work and keep this movement afloat. If there would be we would not have a temple room. We would not have deities to worship. The festival would not be possible. But what I'm saying is, the essence is important. The essence, and in this way, Lord Nityananda, who is a real out-of-the-box incarnation of the Lord, is very important, and his mercy is all we need in our tradition, in our life. Ye age padaya tare karaye nishta. He delivers all those who fall down before him. You just need to show a little. Fall down, be respectful. Be like now, soon people have the deity darshan. You go down on the ground, pang, but not because your neighbor does it, but because you want to fall down, and so on. And then you pray to him, and you will see something will happen. Something by the which this most unorthodox, transcendental personality, who's full of love, will give you. This is what I wanted to say. So I request you, we want to chant again. It's wonderful picture. But I was thinking, yes. No, you're right. We want to sing a song now. Parama Karuna, a song in which we celebrate this wonderful incarnation of the Lord. I want to just read to you this song. Hari,
Hari, Hari.
Just see, dear brother, In all the three births, no one bestows mercy like they do. Animals and birds and even Chankati shed tears and stones melt upon hearing their glories. Lokshanda says, since you remain submerged in material enjoyment, the aspiration to take shelter of the lotus feet has not arisen in you. Thus, dear brother and sister, you suffer the consequences of your own karma as meted out by Lord Yama. Be intelligent, I would say, in the picking up on the theme of the lecture. Be intelligent, my dear devotees. Wake up. These two lords, Nitai and Gaurachandra, are supremely merciful. They are the essence and the crown jewels of all avatars, and they are the source of absolute peace.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I just don't say Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. Thank you also very much, Guru Krishna, for guiding us and singing this beautiful song, which we worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda together. This is very important if you want to please Lord Nityananda. Then you need to have Lord Chaitanya there. Otherwise Lord Nityananda will feel, I'm the servant of my Lord. When will they understand? In my little message, my invitation to you, I quoted something from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which I have also found here, and I want to close with this. This morning it was here. Krishna, Krishna. Just one second. So much in this nectar will become keep much now. I cannot find the
no, it's
yes. 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 Lord Nityananda is very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Therefore the four Vedas sing his glories. Lord Nityananda declared, I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Day or night, he did not say anything else. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. By his mercy, one attains attachment for Lord Chaitanya. Simply by worshipping Lord Nityananda, one will not face danger anywhere. O Lord Gaurachandra, please allow me to serve the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, who as Ananta Shesha holds all the universes on his head. Nityananda does not know anything other than the service of Lord Chaitanya. He always distributes the service of Lord Chaitanya to others. Lord Nityananda is dear to all the Vaishnavas, for they achieve the platform of devotional service by his mercy. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, chapter 10. In verses and chorus will glorify Lord Nityananda as the mediator, the one who brings us to Chaitanya, who are none other than Radha and Krishna. Therefore, the devotees on this day raise their arms in the sky and they shout, Jaya Jaya Nityananda!
Jaya Jaya Nityananda!
Jaya Kripa Maya!
Jaya Kripa Maya!
Jana Hoite Painu!
Jana Hoite Painu!
Sky and they sing another song. This was also good. Once again, please, everyone, don't be lazy.
Jaya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Nityananda.
Radhavinda.
Radhavinda.
Jana Vaita Painu.
Jana Vaita Painu.
Radha Govinda,
Shri Radha Govinda.
All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda, by whose mercy, says Krishna Das Kaviraj, I have attained Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Govinda and Radha Krishna. Thank you all for coming to this festival of Lord Nityananda, for staying. Thank you for bearing with me. I learned from Gaurahari, we are grossly overtime. No problem. But we have to now think how we will continue with the rest of the program.